Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. The truth hurts, especially when he hits you over the head with it. This is The Jeff Blair Show. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, so your Toronto Raptors have now won six in a row after a 126-115 win over the Atlanta Hawks last night. Very professional game. That's one of the things that I think has really pleased people who followed this team. It's really pleased Raptors fans has been the fact that this team has really shown a knack of going out and giving you a professional game and winning. And leaving town with the points. That was the case last night against the Atlanta Hawks. 126-115 win. DeMar DeRozan, 27 points. Lou Williams, another game off the bench, 22 points. And your Toronto Raptors are 13-2 ahead of a game tomorrow at the Air Canada Center against the Dallas Mavericks. Eric Smith is our Raptors play-by-play voice in Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Eric Smith, joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. It's what I like about this team, Eric, beyond, you know, the personality and the grit and the hard work and the resiliency and all that, is I like the fact that they're capable of just winning games, you know, and just doing a professional job, getting the points, packing up their bags and leaving town. And over a long season, I think that's what determines the teams that really succeed, isn't it?
I think there's a lot of truth to that, you know, and the fact that, you know, if you were from another city, or if you, you know, kind of maybe seeing this team or covering this team for the first time, you might not believe it. But when you hear the players, and especially Dwayne Casey, Jeff, after, you know, the first week of the season, first couple of weeks, now the first month of the season, saying, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. We've got to keep working. We haven't done anything yet. You actually believe them. Because it seems like they've got the grounded attitude of they appreciate what they're doing. They know that it's been a great ride so far, but they know that there are still 65-plus games to go, and it truly is a long season ahead. So they're not getting caught up in this. They are, to your point, putting their head down, going in, playing the game, more often than not, obviously, getting the win, and move on to the next one. And I think when we spoke last week, I talked about one of the things that Casey has said in the past, that what he likes to do with his team is divide the schedule up into five-game chunks. You know, he rarely says, you know, take it game by game. Mm-hmm. But he will admit to you that we do break it up into five-game chunks. When we try and get at least three out of five and move on to the next five and never look too far ahead. And it's been an approach or an attitude that clearly seems to be working so far.
Eric Smith joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Watching that game last night, though, through the first half, I'm screaming at the TV set, somebody defend the perimeter, somebody defend the perimeter. They did a better job in the second half. What did Dwayne Casey do? What adjustment did he make? Was it a matter of personnel moves, or was there some sort of tactical thing we saw from Dwayne Casey, or was it the Atlanta Hawks maybe just going away a little bit from something that had been working for him?
Well, I think to a large part as well, I think it was maybe Atlanta in the first half perhaps not playing to their strengths as much as they normally could or should. And I think they focused on it that much more. Might have caught the Raptors off guard a little bit initially in that third quarter. That's one of the issues I think that the Raptors have had this season, not just in that game last night, Jeff, but over the course of the season. It's been defending the three. I think a lot of times they prefer to try and pack in the paint, make it tough down low, try and help out their bigs because they are – you know, outside of Valanciunas and I suppose even Amir Johnson, they're a little undersized overall, so I think they prefer to kind of help out a lot down low, and exposes them at times to one-on-one coverage or to open looks on the perimeter, and I think that kind of happened last night. I mean, Atlanta is one of the better three-point shooting teams in the league, and obviously when you're talking about, you know, a guy like Kyle Korver especially, it's going to make it tough. I remember the first game of the season against Atlanta. I mean, Kyle Korver, it's all he does and yet he still got 3, 4, 5 open looks. I think if there's one thing we want to sort of nitpick on a 13-2 team and a team that's been pretty strong defensively as well, it's that. I think they have to be better at the perimeter and making sure that they stay glued to shooters and not give them the space. And that comes down to guys like DeMar DeRozan and I think Terrence Ross especially, making sure that they, you know, they're properly defending their man. Don't get up too close to the point where you're, you know, going to have the guy put the ball on the floor and drive by. But don't give too much space to the point where you're giving up these open looks either. If you're going to help, you've got to make sure that you're close enough to recover and get back to your man in time.
Eric Smith joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. So ESPN's Hollinger rankings came out yesterday. Well, they didn't come out yesterday. They're out all the time. But they had the Toronto Raptors as 41% to win the NBA championship. Pardon me, 71% to go to the finals.
It's choking me up here.
Yeah, I know it is. The season's over. I don't even know what the hell we're talking about here. Just give them the title right now. The way this looks, it looks like we can book that final showdown between Golden State and the Raptors. I mean, I know. Look, I'm just having fun with these odds. We know about that. But, you know, when you take a snapshot of a season, if nothing else, it tells you how well this team has done compared to everybody else in the NBA.
You know, I posted yesterday before or after the game. It was either 12-2 or 13-2, and somebody hit me back. Yeah, but you know, they play in the East, and you know, they'd be a 7 or 8 seed in the West. And hey, there might be some truth to that. But you can only play the games that you're playing. You can only play the conference that you're in at this point. You know, I don't know if you saw Mark Cuban's already, you know, throwing up the idea of.
I was going to ask you about that actually next.
Okay, we'll save that for a second then. But I look at that and think, all right, that might be true. But then why isn't every team in the East doing what the Raptors are doing? Why isn't every team in the East, you know, 4-1 against the Western Conference or whatever the heck the Raptors' record is against the West at this point? You know, why haven't other teams had the success that Toronto has? I think at the end of the day, you know, we're going to talk in February. We're going to talk in March. Let's see where the Raptors, you know, record is at that point and get a better sense of what this team is approaching the final month of the season heading into the playoffs. Like right now, you know, those rankings and projections are all fine and good, but I'm sure we all don't expect the Cavaliers to be as bad as they've been, and they've been coming on a little bit better the last couple of games. I'm sure if, you know, you stack up the Raptors right now in a 7-game series against a lot of teams in the West, they might be a team that's projected or predicted to lose in 5, 6, 7 games and maybe not a favorite against a lot of those Western teams. But again, we're talking 15 games in the season. If the Raptors after, you know, 50 games or, I don't know, if they're 35-15, you tell me that they're suddenly not completely legit and for real and making noise. So, you know, I think right now, forget the personalities, forget the names and the faces and the star power or lack thereof of some of these players on the Raptors. They're putting together a true team overall. They're winning as a team. They're winning as one of only a handful of teams, I believe 2 or 3 in the entire league, that's top 10 defense, top 10 offense. So, you know, folks can talk about they don't have a big three. They don't have the depth or the veteran power of other clubs. They don't have championship experience. Well, what they've got right now is a balanced lineup that is bringing it at both ends of the floor, that is suddenly playing with a ton of confidence as well and starting to believe in their own success. And I think you can't equate that and put that into a statistic.
Eric Smith joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. DeMar DeRozan at 27 points last night, a lot more noticeable than he's been in some of the recent Raptors games. What explains that point total last night and that offensive production?
I think the fact that, as simple as it is, I think he was just getting good looks and he was making the most of his looks. I think the last couple of games, he's still been getting his touches. Struggled. And Damari Carroll is one of the better defenders in the league and a guy that DeRozan has had some issues with. I even harken back again to the opening night where DeRozan, you know, struggled to try and find his looks against Atlanta. But, you know, I think last night, you know, coming off screens much better, you know, getting open looks from, I mean, he's absolutely deadly from 15, 16, 18 feet. That mid-range perimeter game has just been fantastic for DeRozan this year. And I think we just saw it last night. I think, you know, he's going to get his touches every game. It's a matter of whether he's making the most of them. And I think the other thing, too, is getting to the free throw line and helping that see his game. It opens up spots on the floor for him as well because now, the defenses are respecting. If he puts it on the floor, he's going to get to the rim. We've got to watch for that. They start leaking off a little bit. It opens up that mid-range game. It gives him a little more space. So I just think it was a case of, of, you know, the seeing the ball go through the hoop for him last night and then taking full advantage when he got to the line. If I'm not mistaken, he didn't miss at the stripe last night. I think he was either 8 of 8 or 9 of 9 at the stripe last night. So, you know, I think it's just, again, the volume of touches and making the most of them.
Eric, you mentioned Mark Cuban, which is a fine segue. Mark Cuban in conversation with Brian Gutierrez of Mavs Outsider. He was asked about the current discussion, the current debate underway in the NBA right now about how do you address the imbalance between East and West? Is it a matter of maybe reconfiguring how you look at the playoff system? Is realignment out there? Well, Mark Cuban had an interesting idea for realignment. And essentially, he would take the three Texas teams, San Antonio, Dallas, and Houston, and New Orleans, move them to the East, and take the Bulls, Pacers, Bucks, and Pistons and move them to the West. There's kind of an interesting method to this madness, isn't there?
There is. I'm still trying to figure out how Detroit is a West team, but there definitely is some methods of madness. The only thing I kind of hesitate on, though, when thinking about something like this is a lot of it's cyclical. Like, I know the West has been pretty stacked for a while now, but at the same time, in another 3 years, another 5 years, are we still talking about the West being as dominant? I mean, listen, I know trades can happen, free agent signings can happen. Teams have been better than others at retooling and bringing in new talent as their aging talent, you know, moves out the door. But look at even the teams you just mentioned. Houston's not going away anytime soon. Dirk Nowitzki's not getting any younger. Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili aren't getting any younger. Kobe Bryant and the Lakers, you know, not getting any younger. You look at some of the teams in the West that have essentially been your powerhouses and your consistent playoff contenders for a number of years, and they're starting to show a bit of a drop-off and at least project to be a bit of a drop-off. Kawhi Leonard, is he going to be able to take the reins in the, you know, in the absence of eventually Parker and Ginobili and Duncan and keep that team alive and the Spurs retool, or are they going to take a little bit of a dip for a couple of years? So I think that this whole East versus West thing, it looks bad right now when you think about, you know, the Titanic division essentially is back. Mm-hmm. The Atlantic outside of Toronto and I guess maybe Brooklyn trying to stay in the conversation. You know, you think about the 76ers, the Knicks, you know, the Indiana Pacers taking their beating so far this year. The Bobcats, we didn't anticipate being, the Hornets, as bad as they are. You know, I think that, again, this should turn at some point, so I don't know if I'd be prepared to totally jump on board with realigning the conferences at this point, especially the way he's proposing. Because, you know, it seems like a pretty nice even divide the way they've got it right now, the East versus the West. And, again, I don't know how you would kind of, you know, geographically make the case for a team like San Antonio or Dallas or Houston, for that matter, being an East team while somebody in the Northeast like Detroit is in the West. That just
Detroit was in the West in the NHL for a while, though.
And it made zero sense. Absolutely no sense.
I guess
going to be in the West, and heck, why shouldn't the Toronto Raptors be in the West then?
Yeah, I guess Cuban's point was that you know, in some ways, the trip from Dallas to the Northeast is as roughly the same distance as Dallas to Portland. Which
sure. You know, the team that probably has it worse than anybody, especially being in the West, I think is the Minnesota Timberwolves. You know, Minnesota is, you know, you were talking about, you know, the most outside of, I guess, Toronto, the most northernly, you know, city, and also being in the central time zone. So everywhere they're going, outside of, I believe, maybe what, Memphis, Chicago, Dallas, a handful of teams, they're constantly switching over into a different time zone, whether they're going east or west, and the travel in terms of distance. I mean, their closest city, I would guess, I don't know if my geography is right here, Jeff, would probably be Milwaukee, Chicago. Those would be the closest cities, and they're in the other conference, so they're only going there once a year. You're talking about your closest conference opponent being Denver, being the Texas teams. Minnesota, to me, if there was ever one team that had a case for wanting to flip over and maybe jump into the Eastern Conference for travel purposes alone, I would think it would be Minnesota.
Eric, I appreciate you doing this today.
All right, appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow.
All righty. That is Eric Smith. He is our Raptors radio play-by-play voice in Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Raptors and Dallas Mavericks tomorrow from the Air Canada Center. I'll get you caught up, by the way, on the football we have for you today. It is American Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to our American friends or our wannabe American friends. Wannabe Americans. who are taking this opportunity to celebrate Thanksgiving. 12:30 p.m. in City TV, the Bears and the Lions. 4:30 in City TV, the Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. And then at 8:30 in Sportsnet Ontario, a game with massive playoff implications. The Seattle Seahawks are in San Francisco to play the 49ers. We've got a crap load of Europa League matches on the network today. And we do have some hockey tonight. One NHL game tonight. Thursday night hockey. The Edmonton Oilers, who are 6-14-2 in Nashville to play the 14-5-2 Predators. So, if you want to have kind of a gruesome Thanksgiving entertainment or some gruesome Thanksgiving entertainment, you can always watch the Edmonton Oilers as they play the Predators tonight. That'll be on Sportsnet 360 at 8 o'clock. So our conversation with Eric Smith about last night's game against the Atlanta Hawks, and I think we both agreed that one of the things you really like about the Raptors so far is just the professional performance you get out of this team. There's a consistency of effort, especially from the bench. But more than anything, we've just seen this team develop into a club that gives you a professional approach. The wins aren't always spectacular. And, you know, when you talk about this whole, we have a different hero every night thing, which they do. That, to me, speaks to the professional approach of the team. Because that, to me, is sustainable. The Raptors were 13-2, and DeMar DeRozan was averaging 40 points a game. I'd have some concern about that. I'd wonder how long that could keep up. But maybe the most pleasing thing about the Raptors' run is that at the start of the year, what did we say about the Raptors? We looked at them and we said, boy, they've got a good bench. That bench should be able to win some games for them. That's exactly what's happened. The mark of a professional team. Different guys contributing in different nights. And you've got Kyle Lowry running the whole show. And what's the one thing Kyle Lowry generally doesn't do? He generally doesn't turn over the ball. This is a very professional team. This isn't a, you know, sort of something thrown together, a team that's winning games by the seat of its pants. This is a very professional team. We've talked a little bit in this show about how good are the Raptors. Do we buy that they're capable of winning the Eastern Conference? I mean, there are still people out there who just, they want to, their approach is, let's win a playoff round before we start pegging this team as an Eastern Conference champion or a team capable of winning the Eastern Conference. Let's see what happens when Cleveland gets their act together, as they will eventually. Let's see what happens with the Chicago Bulls and Derrick Rose. I think there's a quiet sense of confidence about this Raptors team, not just around the team, but in the fan base as well. There's a quiet sense of confidence that stuff is going to work out most nights. And, you know, maybe that's one of the most refreshing things about this 13-2 start, is the feeling, and I don't know when we've had this in this city, the feeling of it's okay. They're going to figure out a way to win. Somebody's going to do something that's going to win a game. I can't remember the last time I've had that feeling about a Toronto sports team. I just expect them to win. I expect them to figure out a way. And mostly I just expect a professional performance every night. And if you give me a professional performance, I like your chances of winning. I like your chances of somebody figuring it out. That's one of the things about this Raptors run, is somebody always seems to figure out what needs to be done in order to win. So we're going to take your calls at 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. I want to talk about the Raptors And I want to move beyond that. I just want to ask you, just a general question of sports fans. How much fun has this been? I mean, how much fun are you having watching the Raptors right now? And you can use that if you want as a springboard to general conversation. How much fun are you having watching this team? I mean, I've watched every game on TV this year. I've been to most of the games at the Air Canada Centre. It's must-see, I think, anyhow. I think they're a must-see team. How much fun is this? Daniel in Toronto. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Go ahead, Daniel.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's kind of fun watching these guys, isn't it?
It's a lot of fun. You know, I'm almost 40 years old, so I've been watching this team since inception, and it is a lot of fun. You know, you're talking about quiet confidence. So I just have a couple of points to make, if you just bear with me. You know, it is a quiet confidence because nobody else believes, right? I mean, if you watch the American sports outlets or follow them in the States, they still are making comments like, really, the Raptors? And I actually heard a commentator say that on ESPN where they were talking about their power rankings, which I thought was ridiculous. I mean, you know, if you want to throw in the conversation like you had with Eric about that it's an Eastern Conference versus a Western Conference thing and the Raptors beat Memphis when they had four players that were sick, they still went into Golden State last year in their run and beat them at home. And that was essentially the same team as it is this year. So, you know, if people don't want to give them credit outside of the Toronto fan base, that's their prerogative. But, you know, like you were talking about, they find a way to win every single night. You know, the fact of the matter is that they're deep so that they can throw so many different weapons at you. Like last night, you know, out of nowhere, Grievous Vasquez, who people were saying, well, it's not having such a great season, came on like wildfire. I think he had 26, his best game of the season. And the night before, it was Valanciunas. So every night, they're going to give you another guy who's going to have a good game because they have so many different options. You know, I think that for people to say that DeMar DeRozan is not a superstar, I mean, maybe it's a fair comment, but put up his numbers against anybody else's season. You know, he's consistently giving you good numbers on offense, and he's playing actually pretty good defense. You know, you're talking about professionalism. When your guards are taking charges at the rates that the Raptor guards take charges, you know, it really shows professionalism. I think that Kyle Lowry led the league in charges taken last year. He's taken a lot this year. Grievous Vasquez took one last night. So, you know what? It really shows good composure. Eric also talked about, which I wanted to mention, about how the bigs are helping out so much that a lot of the teams are going to exploit the Raptors with their three or breaking down the defense. And you saw a little bit with Atlanta last night because they like to move the ball a lot like San Antonio does. I think they kind of try to model themselves after that in terms of a lot of their players getting different touches. And the Raptors, I still think, could use a little bit of work on the perimeter. But they still, when it comes down to it, are getting their players to buy in to playing that perimeter defense. I mean, that's why I think they acquired James Johnson in the offseason. I think, you know, Chuck Hayes gives them a little bit of that, even Patrick Patterson. And they have, you know, what people don't realize also is that they have a lot of players who have a high basketball IQ. And that makes a big difference when your team doesn't have a superstar because guys know what their role is. They buy into the system and they're able to adjust their defense to the other players on the other teams, even though they might not be as talented enough to cover that player. So they're able to help out on D. They're able to come to the weak side when it's necessary. They're able to cover two or three different positions, right? And because of their basketball IQ, I think the Raptors are able to do that. They got a lot of smart players. Not to mention, I heard someone make a comment last night on a different radio station in the city saying,
oh, which radio station would that be? Don't say that. Don't say it. Go ahead.
Well,
go ahead.
In any case,
they shouldn't listen to that station.
They said Lou Williams was a poor man's Jamal Crawford. And I think that Lou Williams has always been great, but because of the fact that he had an injury, nobody really kind of paid attention to him and didn't want to pick him up. I think he made Nicky Masai Ujiri look like a genius. And, you know, he's a great sixth man. And I think that, you know, somebody talked about him maybe starting. I think that they should keep him coming off the bench because he just gives you such a spark on offense when you need it. I mean, you know, he shot a step back three last night that was way beyond the three-point line. I think the guy's really gifted. In any case, thanks, Jeff, for letting me speak. I appreciate it.
No problem, Daniel. Sweet Jesus, that man can talk. One of the points about Lou Williams that people in Atlanta made and that you hear from people around the Raptors when you talk about Lou Williams, folks in Atlanta will tell you that Lou Williams was a pretty... Lou Williams had a pretty good idea of how to play defense in Atlanta. The problem was that physically, he just wasn't up to it. He's not a big guy. He's fast to shoot the lights out. He's not a big guy. I mean, when you see him, it's surprising how light he is. And it wasn't that Lou Williams couldn't figure out how to play defense or his positioning wasn't good. It's just that he physically couldn't match up with many guys defensively. Your point is well made about basketball IQ. That trade that Masai Ujiri made for Rudy Gay, not only did it clear things out offensively for the Raptors and remove a hugely inefficient player from the Raptors' equation, but it also brought a massive infusion of basketball IQ. John Salmons isn't here anymore. But John Salmons, if you think back to his contribution when the Raptors got him, was a guy that Dwayne Casey could rely on to make smart decisions late in the game. Same thing with Grievous Vasquez. Same thing with Patrick Patterson. Same thing with Chuck Hayes, who's very quietly, in the absence of Tyler Hansbrough, had a real impact on this team in recent games. And you're absolutely right. It's almost like Masai Ujiri gave his team a basketball brain when he brought these four players in. And then adding Lou Williams has also just helped that situation. Andrew in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You're on the Jeff Blair Show. Go ahead, Andrew.
Jeff, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. I don't know if I'm going to have as much commentary as the last caller. His basketball
Holy Lord.
Is pretty high. So, I've been watching, really enjoying this year, and trying to find a sense of who this Raptor team reminds me of. And I think last night I saw it. It's that Pistons, the Larry Brown Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
Different star every night. You know, DeMar has that mid-range game that Rip had. And, you know, Chauncey Billups has that tenacious guard, same as Kyle. I don't know if they have the same interior defense. Obviously, no Ben Wallace or Rasheed Wallace. But, you know, a different star every night and really enjoying it this year. And I think I don't know if it's been lost, but bringing over four players that were all on the same team, there's a continuity with those guys. And now bringing James Johnson back, because he already knew the system, I think that's a big part of it too, is these guys, they've already played with each other
mm-hmm.
for an extended period of time, and now we finally have that continuity. So I'm excited, and I don't expect there to be a big drop-off. I think the Raptors are for real. So I'm going to hang up and listen to your thoughts.
Kirk Heinrich, when the Bulls were in town, made that point in an interview I did with him. Made the point that one of the often overlooked keys to a successful team, whether it's the NBA, whatever sport, is continuity and just knowing what the other guy can do, having that second sense that comes from being beside your teammate in a crucial situation and seeing him come through, or more importantly, seeing what he could do and couldn't do in a crucial situation. And Kirk Heinrich's point was that signing Kyle Lowry was an important move for the Raptors because it contributed to stability, and bringing back the guys off the bench was an important move for the Raptors. Because as Kirk Heinrich said, you're bringing back people who have gone through things before and who have an accumulative level of knowledge about each other's abilities, each other's personalities, who can be counted on in a certain situation, who's a good player, but maybe not so good in a particular situation. And Heinrich's point was having guys that you've played with for a while in different roles and different times, good times, bad times, you understand what each other are capable of doing. And that translates onto the court. It helps making decisions easier. It allows you to make better decisions faster than you might otherwise make them. And it was an interesting discussion. And it's absolutely right. You can't have constant turnover and expect people to make right decisions all the time when the guy to their left or the guy to their right is somebody that they're not used to playing with. Clifton in Etobicoke. You're on Sportsnet 590. Where the hell have you been?
You know, Jeff, I forget to tell Travis there to bet his lunch money on the Niners tonight, eh?
Go ahead, sir.
This team was put together to beat Seattle for this game tonight. When they signed Stevie Johnson, Brandon Lloyd, you know, Alden Smith is back. It's for this game tonight. Now, regarding the Raptors, you know, like the caller off the top pretty much said most of the things that I wanted to say. But the one thing I'd like to add, Jeff, is I want to hear, like, our local media guys, stop disparaging the performance or the success, the early season success of these guys by constantly reminding us that they're playing in the East. We know they're playing in the East. Let the guys down in the U.S., you know, like, let them talk about that, you know, like sour grapes on their part. But, you know, like, for our local guys to be saying that, you know, like, it bugs me.
Well, it's basically what you want, Clifton, is you want us to stop apologizing for the fact we're in the East.
That's right. I mean, like,
and that's right. I agree with you.
Like Eric said, the schedule is a schedule. They didn't make up the schedule. They have to play the teams that are in front of them. You know, this is a good team. This is a solid basketball team. So, you know, when Miami was doing it, you know, like the past few years, I didn't hear anybody talking about, you know, like, yeah, they're beating up on Eastern Conference teams. You know, like Miami was a solid team. So is this team. So let's wait until the end when the cream will rise to the top, and then we'll match up with those guys from over there, and we'll see what happens.
Clifton, I appreciate the call. It's well said by Clifton. Clifton was giving us the NFL tips off the top. 416-870-05, which is fine. I'll take Clifton's NFL clips. Tips. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Jason and Cape Breton, Nova Scotia. You're on the Jeff Blair Show. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Jason, what's up? Are people in Cape Breton a little worked up about the Raptors, too?
It's starting to be.
Okay, that's good.
A little story first.
Yes.
On the weekend, I mentioned to my father, that who hates basketball, that the Raptors were playing well, and kind of scoffed at it. And then we watched the game together, and he hasn't watched a Raptors game since the Vince miss against the Sixers. And he said it was better than – he's a Habs fan. He said it was better than any Habs game he's watched in 10 years.
Wow.
But – and also it's an honor to follow Clifton in Etobicoke.
It's an honor to have Clifton on.
But the reason they're playing so well – it's because they're better than all these teams. They're deeper. I mean, you look around the East, even the West, not a lot of teams can go 10 deep. And the Raptors can. And they can put all five starters on the bench and still run with almost any team. There really isn't many teams that can do that. So I think they're just more talented.
Oh, and Jason, you know, Paul Jones made the point last week. It was after the win over Cleveland. And his point was, look at who Cleveland's running off the bench. And then look at who Miami's running off the bench. And
it is.
Yeah. It's to the point where, you know, it's to the point now. I mean, Cleveland's actively in the trade market. Cleveland needs to make a trade to make their team better. And I think you're right. I think there's a... you know, people always talk about depth, and boy, depth is important, but depth has become kind of a cliche and kind of a catchphrase, but it really isn't with this team. And you know what? It's a perfect time to have it in the East, because the one thing that LeBron James leaving Miami has done, and I made this point very early when he left, I wrote a column about it in sportsnet.ca. To me, it makes the Miami Heat less scary. It makes Cleveland better, appreciably better, obviously. You don't get Kevin Love and LeBron James in your team and not get better. It makes them appreciably better. But they don't scare you. I mean, the one team in the East that I think should scare people are the Chicago Bulls. And they can't keep Derrick Rose healthy. And if Derrick Rose isn't healthy, they're still a very good team with the best passing front court in basketball. But they're not the same team that they are with Derrick Rose. They're just not. They don't have that guy in the backcourt that can take over a game. So I just don't think the East is... I don't think there's as much to be afraid of in the East as there was last year. But and Clifton's right. I think we have to stop apologizing for the fact that this team is in the East. Guess what? The Raptors are in the East. The schedule is what it is. Live with it. Stop apologizing for the fact you're in the East. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Continue to take your Raptors calls. We'll also be joined by Chris Johnson, our NHL insider in Sportsnet. This is the Jeff Blair Show. This is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show.
By the way, our congratulations to friend of the show Cliff Floyd and his father-in-law for getting a pretty sweet deal in Dragon's Den. Yeah, despite the fact he was wearing a Mets jersey. But as he said on our show, he couldn't find an Expos hat that fit, and he wasn't going to, you know, it's like meats don't mix, whatever. What's that thing? Anyhow, whatever, you know, you can't have an Expos hat on with a Mets jersey, or vice versa. You can't have a Mets hat on with an Expos jersey. Anyhow, so congratulations to Cliff Floyd and Adam, his father-in-law, and the drywall axe, which is will be continued to be marketed now in Canada and indeed down in the U.S. as a result of their involvement with Dragon's Den. They had offers from everybody except one guy. One guy just said that he just couldn't match the other offers. So there you go. We probably should have gone to the viewing party at Boston Pizza. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Let's continue our discussion on the Toronto Raptors. Yeah, basic question this morning about the Raptors. How much fun is this? How much fun are you having watching this? Why is this so enjoyable? Alan Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Why is it so enjoyable watching the Raptors? It's just, you know what it is? It's like, it's just flat out entertaining, man. It's just fun.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Listen, I don't usually call into these shows. I listen quite often, but I'm not a frequent caller. But I just wanted to share a little story, if I can take a second, and then I'll hang up.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing about this for me is I'm 57 years old, so I grew up in this city. My parents came here from Britain in the early 50s. So I grew up a Toronto Maple Leaf fan. My gym teacher while I was in high school played for the Toronto Argonauts. So obviously football and the Blue Jays in my, you know, my 20s or in my teens when they came along. But basketball wasn't on the radar for me growing up here. And I used to get very frustrated trying to get my father to enjoy hockey with me. And he didn't get it. He never skated in his life. He didn't understand the sport. So fast forward, the Raptors come to town. I have my son, and he's 8 or 9 or whatever he was when they came into town, and he's a big Raptor fan. And he's taken me down to a few games. And to be honest with you, I couldn't get into it. I would watch it. I just didn't get it. I don't know what a pick and roll is. I don't know what boxing out is. And so I just tell him all the time, I'm sorry, but I just don't get this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Vince Carter, I watched all that, but I couldn't. Then last year, something magical happened for me. I watched them, and even though I still don't know what a pick and roll is or a box out, I could...
That's okay. Jonas Valanciunas forgets it every now and then, too, so don't worry about it.
Okay. I know an effort when I see one, and I phoned my son last season, and I said, I'm starting to watch these guys, and this is really addictive, how hard they try and the camaraderie and brotherhood amongst all the boys on the team and how they don't give up. And I'm finding myself this year watching basketball, and I never have before. And so I just find it really interesting that I couldn't get into the game based on the technical aspects of it, but their efforts and how hard they try and how well coached they appear to be is really becoming addictive for me. And I'm slowly becoming a convert, if that's the proper term. You watch the Maple Leafs, and I look at the game, and I don't really see the effort I wish to see. And then I flick over to the Raptors, and they're trying so hard. So I just want to share that with you, how now I'm able to – I think I'm going to learn about the game now when before I wasn't interested. I'm hoping soon I understand those terms because I'm watching it on a very regular basis.
Al, I appreciate the call, and I guarantee you the Raptors appreciate that as well. Look, the biggest thing to me that separates the watching the Raptors from the Leafs right now is I guarantee you that we could throw out a question and ask people, give me a one-word answer to describe how you feel about the Leafs. No one would say likable for whatever reason. And I think people, the Leafs are just, thank God that the city has the Leafs as part of their DNA. Because they've done an awful lot to try the souls of their fans. I mean, thank God it's just, they're so historically ingrained in the city that their place of predominance in the sports landscape is unchallenged. I mean, it's just as TV ratings, whatever, radio. The Leafs are the thing. The Leafs drive the bus. But they're not really likable. And it's surprising how many people look at the Raptors as being a likable team, whether it's the personalities, the way they've played this year. I think a lot of it comes from Dwayne Casey. Think about some of the situations the city's had with coaches. I mean, you had John Farrell managing the baseball team, and he screwed the city over to go to Boston. You've had Ron Wilson, who was, like Captain Bly. I don't even know if Captain Bly is the right word, but I mean, he was, tell you what, Ron Wilson used to make me pessimistic. And that is hard to do. Ron Wilson used to steal my sunshine. That is really hard to do. Now you have Randy Carlisle. Nobody expects him to be around. And yet, what do the Raptors have? Well, they have Dwayne Casey, a guy who punches the clock, a guy with a track record of being a good defensive coach on a team that won an NBA championship, and a guy who just seems to get it. He gets it when he deals with the media. He gets it when he deals with the fans. There's a whole bunch of guys in this team that get it. And that's one of the reasons they're so much fun to watch. Kezzy and Claremont, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's up, Kezzy?
Hey, bud. Huge win last night. I'm a diehard Leaf fan. And I started watching Raptors about 10, 14 years ago, but not really that much. Now I watch Raptors over Leafs. It's just the heart. They punch in and punch out every day. And, it's something that maybe some of these young kids should look up to, because the Leafs, I don't even know, man. I can't even stand it. But I go look at the Raptors, and there's so much good things to be happy for. And I'm not really a basketball guy, but just by watching this team, I think they're going to only get better.
Here's the thing. I mean, look, DeMar DeRozan hasn't had the type of year that a lot of people have expected him to have. And Jonas Valanciunas is still a work in progress. And so is Terrence Ross. There is reason to expect this team to get better, because three of their better players, or three of their key players, haven't performed up to what I would consider to be their statistical average. So you're absolutely right. Do we have time to squeeze one more caller in? Yeah, we're going to squeeze one more caller in. We'll squeeze one more caller in very quickly. Travis, let's play caller bingo. Let's go to Brad in Collingwood. You're in the Jeff Blair Show. What's up, Brad?
It's a pleasure getting on your show. I listen to you a lot.
Thank you.
And it's the first time I've called in.
Welcome.
I got to tell you, I'm a hockey guy. I've always been a hockey guy. I have a very low basketball aptitude. Last year, I'm going to say your last caller, I got to add a few things to that, and I'd like to add something to Clifton's comments. I'll try to be
okay.
Quick.
Very quickly here, we're up against the clock. Travis is throwing; he's staring darts at me right now.
Oh, geez. Well, listen, hockey fan all my life. What's great, refreshing, fun, and dramatic? I'm 49 and never played basketball, and this team captivated me last year. And I just love the way they acknowledge the fans. They got guts. The whole organization is class, from the coach to the GM. And if the Leafs want to know what the recipe for success is, take a look at your basketball team and try that. And as far as what Clifton said, I'm so tired of certain hockey guys on at the Fan talking about how the Raps are just, today's this and that, and it'll always be the Leafs. Take a look at demographics, public school, high school kids. 20 years from now, those kids are all going to be growing up and they're going to be watching basketball, and give 10 kids the opportunity to go see a Leaf game right now or a Raps game, I bet you 8 out of 10 take a Raps ticket.
There you go, Brad. I appreciate the call. You've had your say. The demographics are very favorable for basketball. The economics are very favorable for basketball over hockey. Hockey's biggest issue is that it's pricing a lot of kids out of the game. And we all know that. But you're right. At some point, hockey's got to take a look at itself. Good calls, everybody. I appreciate it. Jordan Heath Rawlings is deputy editor of Sportsnet Magazine. You can follow him at The Game Sheet. Sportsnet Magazine's got its year-end awards issue out. We're going to talk a little NFL with Jordan Heath Rawlings when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.